Mondays on the Huge Radio Network are presented by all the brands, Steakhouse and Grills. And if you're looking for a huge deal, Brands has one for you. Get five complete meals for just $10 each, Monday through Thursday, at all brands, Steakhouse and Grills. And those five for $10 meals include two sides and the world-famous Brands yeast rolls. Find out more at Brands.com and also follow Brands on Facebook. Mondays on the Huge Radio Network are presented by all the brands, Steakhouse and Grills.
This is a Huge Opinion Monday. Voice your huge opinions now at 1-866-838-HUGE. That's 1-866-838-4843. At Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook and Instagram. Now, let's go live to the Auto Value Bumper to Bumper Parts Store Studio. Here's the huge one, Bill Simonson.
Thank you, Mr. Rob Bryant. The Huge Radio Network is inside the Wolverine.com Tower in Ann Arbor with our affiliate AM 1050 WTKA, talking about Michigan spring football, also looking ahead to the most anticipated season for Harbaugh since before his first year at the University of Michigan. Doug Skeen is a former Wolverine offensive lineman, does a great podcast with Chris Ballas at the Wolverine.com in season and out of season. And he joins us, and from that finale against Florida in the bowl game through spring scrimmage slash game, Doug, the positives you see about this team before they kick off the 2019 season and things you believe they still need to work on.
The positives are that Coach Harbaugh has hit the reset button once again with his coaching staff and went out and hired an offensive coordinator. That's the single biggest deal there is. I absolutely believe that. So he had the mixed, you know, collaborative effort of calling plays, which, of course, I don't know this for sure, I'm not in the building, seemed to slow the process down to getting a play on the field, looked a little clunky at times, clock management was poor at times. If we just fix those things, that's a huge benefit and a huge progress in my mind. To bring in a guy that's going to have the full reins, and everything as Harbaugh has said is that he now has the full reins of the offense. He's running everything. That in and of itself is huge. From what I've read from some of these players, the offense seems to be simpler to understand. Therefore, you can get to the line quicker and execute your play. These are big deals.
When you look at Josh Gattis and his enthusiasm, the speed and space, just a spring scrimmage, I'm not reading anything into that. Their offense is the best I've ever seen. But my first thought is, why did it take so long to utilize athletes, which Harbaugh has recruited?
Yeah,
there's never been a shortage of talented five-star/four-star, even three stars in Ann Arbor during the Harbaugh era. Why did it take so long for him to finally go there?
Well, I think that, like a lot of football coaches and former players, we tend to think that we can do anything if we just work harder and just do it better. And Jim is an old player, very successful player, and had a lot of success as a coach as well. So it's not so easy to just say, well, this isn't working. There's always that grind that kicks in where you just dig your heels in harder and try to do the same thing over and over. And I think that, to his credit, again, after 2 years of this becoming painfully predictable toward the back end of a football season, he got exposed down there in Columbus, and certainly I would say even the week before for the third year in a row against Indiana. Got exposed a little bit against Indiana, and then you apply Ohio State athletes to an Indiana game plan against Michigan, and all the planets align for an absolute butt-kicking. So, again, thank God this is a guy who can look in the mirror and say, we need to change. Why does it take so long? Who knows? But I think it was a year past due, but I'm glad that it did.
Yeah, I agree. I said that earlier with Chris, and I thought these changes were needed a year ago. He finally did it, and you know, who are we to say that if they beat Ohio State, then they're still doing the same thing?
Correct.
Then they in probably the Big Ten are. Title game, and yeah, they're, you know, probably in the, you know, college yeah. football playoff.
Yeah, they probably are doing the same thing, which wouldn't be a bad thing either, right? But it didn't work. The reality of the way the schedule went and the way things happened, it was bound to happen sooner or later. And really, you could say for 3 years in a row it hasn't worked, because for 3 years in a row, what was a concern is now an official pattern. I mentioned it a minute ago. Struggle against Indiana, get beat against Ohio State and flop in your bowl game 3 years in a row. It's now officially a pattern. It's no longer a coincidence. And so now something had to change.
And when you're watching a team like Maryland on offense tear apart Ohio State, and they were a two-point conversion.
Yeah. They were 6 inches away.
From sending Michigan to the Big Ten title game, no matter what they did in Columbus. The question was, why can't the Michigan offense do that against Ohio State's defense?
Well, I believe looking back on that week, the way the seasons went, there was an emotional falsehood, false positive coming into that game.
On the Michigan side?
On the Michigan side. I think that there was a lot of people that thought they were just going to roll into Columbus and win. And I think you probably saw, we saw an Ohio State team at Maryland that was peeking into the next week and wasn't looking at the Maryland team in front of them. And then when it got to be Ohio State-Michigan week, those guys down there clearly know how to play this game, and they brought it. They brought their A game. So I look at that as just a fluke. Maybe it's the same way going for us. Maybe that's why we've struggled against Indiana the last 3 years before the Ohio State game, because we got too many guys peeking ahead into next week. I don't know. I'm not on that team. I'm not in the locker room. So all the factors, that emotional, young college-age guys from both of these schools looking ahead, maybe explains why they look so poor against Maryland and could have easily been beaten. And maybe that's why we struggled to beat Indiana the week before Ohio State. And, I think it makes a lot of sense. Having been there and done that, I can tell you, many years ago when we were in those locker rooms and we looked at that schedule, there were weeks where we had it on autopilot because we were waiting to play the big game the following week. It's just part of human nature when you're that age.
Doug Skeen, former Michigan offensive lineman, does a wonderful job year-round breaking down Michigan football. Chris Ballas on the podcast at thewolverine.com. He's joining us here on the Huge Show across Michigan as we're in Ann Arbor with our affiliate AM 1050 WTKA, talking about Michigan spring football, looking ahead to the 2019 season. So from the limited video that I've watched, Josh Gattis, when he was hired from Alabama, given full control of the offense, no huddle, speed and space, for what you can take from a spring scrimmage, not a game, not ones versus ones, this is what Michigan needed.
It looks like back to the future for me personally. In 1990, Coach Schembechler retired. Coach Mower takes over with Cam Cameron and Les Miles running this offense. We went to a no-huddle at the line, check with me offense, where your whole playbook is at your disposal at the line of scrimmage. You execute your play, you just kind of wander back to your spot at a pretty good pace, and you get your feet set and you're listening for code words and numbers, a combination of both. And you're running the whole playbook at the line of scrimmage. The play comes in from the sideline really quickly after the previous play was done, and we're off to the next play. So now here we are again, the 2019 season is 6 months away, less than 6 months away, and I'm seeing and hearing similarities to what we experienced all those years ago. It's an awesome offense to run. It's a lot of fun to execute. There's a couple things that are required. You got to have guys that are in great physical shape. You got to be able to run like the wind when it's hot and steamy, and you still have to think when you're doing so. And you have to have a bunch of guys that can understand the whole offense. So Michigan's got smart guys out there, and we got guys that will be in great shape. We got all the pieces. So for me, it's exciting because I see this stuff and I go, I know how effective this was. And you put a team with their hands on their hips and down on their knees before halftime, you'll blow them away in the second half. And so it's a fun deal for me to see. I can't wait to see it. So I see the similarities in the little bit of the clips that I saw from the spring game. And again, it's this controlled scrimmage. You probably saw maybe six things out there. But I see the same stuff. You see crossing patterns underneath. Gattis is trying to get his best athletes the ball. And it doesn't have to be home run deep stuff. So we'll see a lot of that. You see an offensive line that's still going to try to do the same kind of things we did before, just faster, more snaps per minute, which is going to create pressure and problems for a defense. The tight ends are still involved in this offense in short to mid-depth patterns. And yet the most important thing I think we all want to see are the top athletes on the offensive side of the ball getting the rock with a little bit of space around them. And I don't care what you call it, that recipe will work.
And that's been missing. You go back, and we've talked about this a couple of times, and Doug Skeen, former Wolverine offensive lineman, joining us from Ann Arbor as we're here at the Wolverine.com offices talking about Michigan spring football. I felt that he's never said, I'm going to use my best to take you out. And offensively.
Yeah.
Defensively, they have.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, you go down the list of Bush and Winovich, and when they're healthy, they're guys that can change a game. They haven't had the offensive players change a game. Rudock did it in his first year. I thought he was extremely solid and more than a pleasant surprise. But, like, when he had Peppers, he would run him against Rutgers, but he wouldn't run him against Iowa or Ohio State in big games where he needed the W.
Right. Well, Peppers wasn't a feature offensive set guy, right? He was a defensive player.
Yeah, but I think
primarily.
He could have used him more.
I think you're right. He could have. The exciting thing about this offense that I think is coming is that we leave the defensive guys over there and we highlight what we do. Now, your point that you made was why, what was going on before. And I just think that Coach Harbaugh thought we're going to line up just like we used to.
Old school football.
Old school. We're going to bring our monster fullback in here. We're going to have two tight ends, and we're just going to call this play, and everybody in the building is going to know it, and we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, but then why wouldn't you use Donovan Peoples-Jones and his athleticism and his spins and his moves? And it's not
so
just Peppers.
Back in the day, those were complementary pieces to the absolute violence going on between the tackles.
Right.
That was the part of the offense that ran everything, and then we were going to throw you a curveball.
But it's not 1985.
Correct. It's not anymore, and the game has changed. And so I think that's part of what we've seen here now is that the old school trials have not produced a championship. So if you can't beat them, let's join them. And Gattis coming from Alabama is a great example of a coach who's had top level success, who's done the same thing. Alabama, of all the schools, had the horses to line up and bludgeon you, even though you may have known the play was coming anyway. But even Coach Saban down there changed and opened things up.
Doug Skeen, former Michigan offensive lineman, joining us here on the Huge Show across Michigan, talking about Michigan spring football. What'd you see from the line in the video you watched of the spring game?
Yeah.
What do you like? What still needs some work in terms of the trenches for Josh Gattis in that Michigan offense?
What I like is a returning left tackle. A lot of experience there with Runyon Jr. Our best offensive lineman, I think, is Bredesen, plays with the most aggressiveness. I think we've got a super athletic center. So from the center left, I feel really good and confident and have high expectations for what those three guys can do. The right guard position, we're hearing the same thing now for the second year in a row. He's getting in better shape. He's dropped some weight. And I'll tell you, in this offense, he'll have no choice but to be in great shape to be able to run. So if this is going to be on one whose last year is right guard, he's a senior, it's time for him to play his best football. And with a no-huddle offense, he's going to have to be in great shape or he's going to be left behind. And then we've got a toss-up at right tackle with Stuber over there with Mayfield. From what I've seen, Mayfield looks to be more athletic, moves a little more fluidly. If I had to guess, it'll probably be Mayfield's job come the opener at right tackle. So there's a lot of experience from right guard all the way to left tackle. You got four returning starters. That is huge. And I think that goes into all kinds of confidence and just a familiarity, even though they're putting in new terminology, new code words, new numbering systems, whatever they're doing over there. Having played that much football from right guard over to left tackle, that's the unit that's going to carry this team. It does every year, but this year especially with four seniors lining up.
Doug, when you look at the quarterback, Shea Patterson, and Chris Ballas from the Wolverine.com mentioned that, you know, he's throwing the deep ball better. That's the vibe out of Schembechler Hall. Game situation is a different story. There's the element, and Chris and I discuss this, and when I say the element of a faction of Michigan fans who still think Patterson, you know, can't win the big game, that want the athleticism, and McCaffrey looks more like an NFL-type QB, and Milton has a strong arm. When you look at the quarterback depth, which is as deep as they've had in a long time, your thoughts on the Michigan QB situation?
I think Patterson's a fine quarterback, and I would remind Michigan fans there were two games back-to-back, three games back-to-back last fall where it was, you know, Penn State, Michigan State, Wisconsin. I think, you know, maybe I got those out of order. But those at the time were big emotional games, and that guy performed great in those games. So there's three big games that he won. Those counted in my mind. Now, the end of the season, not so great. In the end of the season, he got into a football game against a kid from Ohio State who's got a laser shoulder on his body there, can throw darts. And so Patterson's deep ball got exposed a little bit. I've talked about it before. I thought the ball fluttered a little bit on the deeper pass mid-route. I thought it lost a little energy. So if he's throwing those better, that's great. But he's still going to do what he does best. And it may be a variation of what we saw. Patterson's going to be this quarterback unless the sky falls and something dramatic happens in my mind. There's just too much experience and too much winning track record for him. So if McCaffrey's going to do it, he's going to have to do something incredibly impressive in practices to take this job from Patterson. I'd be shocked if it were anybody but him come opening day.
Patterson in this new speed and space, no huddle offense. Is that an upgrade for him and his strengths, would you say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, we saw his strengths on display last year with the read option stuff where did an incredibly good job of really selling the eyeballs and the head fake to hold that ball in there and pull it at the last second numerous times. No one in the stadium knew where that ball was going except he had it around the end of line before anybody knew. It was awesome. I think that this new offense is going to complement those strengths. You'll still see probably some of the same stuff, but they're going to let this guy roll out a little bit more and maybe have some more run-pass options. I know that's the cool thing everybody talks about now. Those things have always been around, and so we're just going to let him feature that a little bit more. What I would love to see for him to take his game to the next level, and I mentioned it earlier, Bill, let him come to the line, give the kid six plays. Three to the right, three to the left, four to the right.
You're talking Shea Patterson.
Shea Patterson. Give that quarterback 4 to 6 plays. Let him make the decision of what he thinks is best for the moment and let him call it and run it. I'm not sure that happened in the past because we were hurrying to the line at the last second. Again, I don't think our clock management and our play selection process to get it on the field was the best. I think with a kid like this, with this much experience and an offensive line that has that much experience, give those guys six plays, let them make the decision based on what they see in the defensive set in front of them, execute, and have fun. The recipe is all there for that all to happen.
And chances are Josh Gattis would allow that more than Harbaugh would have in the past.
Well, we don't know that for sure, but it certainly seems that way. And then you had, you know, three other guys calling plays, so everybody had their input.
Did I hear that Warner was calling running plays?
I don't know.
You don't know what was true, but between Pep Hamilton, Harbaugh's influence, and Warner, how'd they not get a delay of game every snap?
I can tell you from experience, having been around as a player,
when I heard an offensive line coach calling run plays.
So years ago, our offensive line coaches, you know, they got their headsets on. They're talking to the head coach while they're over there talking to us.
So they would tell him, hey, we need to do this.
They would call and request, and hey, we need to do this. We need to do that. And then somebody else would
hire. I see something, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, they would either listen and call it or override it, but when you designate, like in any organization, when you designate a leader that has authority and that person listens to what their peers and their subordinates are telling them, and they're taking these things into consideration, they're making fully informed decisions and they do what they think is best. When you don't have a designated leader, who has the final say? And now he can get a little bit muddy. So I love the structure that Jim has created with Gattis now, having the final say. I'm sure he's going to listen to his assistants, and they're going to collaborate, but he's going to have the final say, and that's good. It works. That is an old, tried, and true process.
And that's why Harbaugh did it. He knew that there were too many chefs in the kitchen, whatever you want to say, that he knew he needed to streamline this and focus on one guy making the calls. Mm-hmm. Harbaugh obviously has input. He's a head coach.
Yeah.
And if they want to debate that during halftime, if they want to debate it at any time, he can, but he has to let his offensive coordinator get into a flow.
Right.
Right?
I think he has to.
I'm talking in-game.
In-game. So the way this goes is, you know, usually the first two possessions of the game
scripted. Right? Yeah.
You got 10, 12, 15 snaps written out. This is what we're going to run. And then after that, the first and 10 play goes in. And then these coaches are on the headsets immediately talking about, I need a second and long, I need a second and short, and I need another first and 10 play ready to go before this umpire puts this ball down to play. And so they're always a play or two ahead in their play calling, And then when you can get to a good point where you can start giving that quarterback sets of plays based on what can happen, now you've got that experience out there running your entire playbook in a flow, in a speed and tempo at which puts pressure on your defense. And so now you can do all kinds of things. It looked painful at the end of the year, didn't it, in that bowl game? There was a minute and a half, minute 51, I think, left in that game, and it took us a minute and 28 seconds to get 10 yards, and we looked out of sorts, and timeouts weren't called properly. It just looked so clunky. I'm like, man, that was, for me, that was kind of like the final straw. It's like, man, you've got to change something because this looks terrible.
And Harbaugh did.
He did.
And shocked us by grabbing Gattis from Nick Saban, and he publicly has reiterated it two or three times.
Right.
Gattis is running the offense.
And remember now, this is Jim Harbaugh, who's, you know, the face and has taken, you know, so much credit for all the positive things he did before he got to Michigan and since being at Michigan. You know, this is a proud coach. And for him to say, I'm handing this over, I think is a big deal.
I agree.
And so that tells me that that's what leaders do. Leaders know where they need help and they need to bring people in that can help them. And you can go back to our football program's history, to the greatest coaches. They always had great assistants that they listened to. And you can look at these from other football programs, both at the college level and the pro level, and then into every other structural organization that's had high levels of success. You got a strong leader that knows his weaknesses, hires smart people around him to fill in those weaknesses, and you let the horses run.
That's why I'm surprised it took so long to get here, because the movie made the Colin Kaepernick while coaching the Niners against all the media, all the fans, and just said, we're better off with Kaepernick than we will be with Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. And look how that panned out.
Yeah.
Went to the Super Bowl against his brother.
Right.
Right. And you know it's in him.
Yeah.
But also I think there's a loyalty factor with Harbaugh, with people that he has hired, where he allows them to do their job, even if it starts to affect his.
Well, you have to let your people and your assistant coaches and players, they got to feel free enough that they can make a mistake or two and not get yanked.
Yeah, but it reminded me, Doug Skeen, former Wolverine offensive lineman, joining us as we're looking back at Michigan spring football and also talking about the upcoming season here on the Huge Radio Network. It really reminded me of what he was doing with offense, with the Drevnos and the Pep Hamiltons, and hearing that, you know, an offensive line coach may have called running plays. It reminded me of what Rich Rod was doing on defense, where he was so locked in and doing it well on offense, but it was a clown show on defense.
Yes.
And you will say there were games where, you know, Penn State and Wisconsin, which you talked about, were big wins, where what they did to Penn State, you've seen that.
Yeah. A
couple times where they're just locked in, and Nebraska was another game.
Yeah.
Okay, where they look like a team that could win it all.
Right. At that time of the season, that was October, that was a huge stretch for that team.
So how do you lose it?
Right.
Right?
And I think what you have to remember, the scouting and all these analysts that all these Division I coaches have now, and Harbaugh's got a whole fleet of them himself. These guys are dissecting your every move. They're watching TV copies. They're watching internal copies. They know what you're going to do before you leave the huddle.
Tendencies, analytics,
everything.
All that, spitting it out of
every formation
laptop,
you
right,
set in, they know everything you've run out of. The percentages are all written out in a spreadsheet. It's all there. And so by the end of the season, again, we talked about it, you know, we first started chatting here. I think things got really predictable.
Yes.
And when Harbaugh thought, and we saw it in the bowl game, when Harbaugh thought, it's short yardage, we're going to bring in our fullback, we're going to run off tackle, we're going to get a first down. No, it doesn't work anymore. And even when you do have the horses to do it, sometimes you got to be able to throw that curveball. So here we go. Here comes the curveball. Here comes the change. And I think that's a good thing.
One thing also and we'll see what happens this year at Wisconsin, at Penn State, they have not had what champions do, is that you go on the road and you go show everybody we're the team. Mm-hmm. A hostile environment, no matter where we're at. And if you look at Harbaugh, since he's been at Michigan, his, you know, biggest road wins would be what, the two at Michigan State?
I was going to say the two up at Michigan State. And I think last year was more impressive because Michigan State's defense was legit.
Yes.
And it was a 21-7 game. But that defense up there is the real deal. So that was a big win, right?
Yes.
If at the end of the year, you can look at Michigan State's record and say, well, they weren't that good.
No, their defense was as good as anybody in the country.
Exactly. Statistically speaking, you cannot argue how good Michigan State is.
And it's going to be good next year, too.
Absolutely.
Or this fall.
Right. So to do what we did up there, that was a big road win. I understand your point, though. At what point does the Michigan football team roll into
Madison, Happy Valley,
snuff the place out, quiet them down?
28-7, you roll out of there with
exactly. You just crush somebody.
That's what champions do.
Correct.
Even though Alabama plays one road game a year.
Right. But that's what the great teams have always done, is I've shared with Ballas over the years, Coach Schembechler loved General Patton. And he talked about the great tank battles, and it was the phrase that we used, and I got to hear when I was here, there was 2 years, was, we're going to roll in there, park the tanks, and take over. And he'd talk about that all the time.
Because he wanted the enemy to see the tanks.
Correct.
And there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do about it. Now, back in the day, that meant rolling up with two tight ends and a fullback and bludgeoning you to death. Now it means, okay, we're going to get this ball to these athletes, and we're going to run around you to death. I don't care what you call it, and I don't care how you do it.
What Ohio State did to Michigan.
Exactly.
Down in Columbus.
Exactly.
Doug Skeen, former Wolverine offensive lineman. You can hear him year-round on the podcast with Chris Ballas at thewolverine.com. He's joining us, looking back at Michigan spring football, looking ahead to a highly anticipated season that features ND, Michigan State, and Ohio State over at the Big House, and road games against two teams in transition with new quarterbacks at Penn State, at Wisconsin. We'll talk about that. Also, more on the Wolverines with Doug Skeen here on the Huge Radio Network.
This is a Huge Opinion Monday on the Huge Radio Network. In the Den with Dan Dickerson.
When you're shopping for auto parts, shop your local Auto Value Parts stores. When you shop local, you're helping your neighborhood provide dollars for libraries, parks, and fire departments. Shop for all your auto parts at your local Auto Value Parts stores. Auto Value. Local service is the difference. We get it.
Tigers manager Ron Gardenhire is working with a three-man bench to start the year. And over the weekend in Minnesota, things got a little bit dicey as he tried to put nine healthy players on the field. First, Nick Castellanos went down with an injury. Then Nico Goodrum got hit by the flu. At which point, Gardy had to think about what pitcher he might use in an emergency. But he was ready. Gardy says he watches pitchers during batting practice to see who can actually go get a fly ball. And he says Buck Farmer is clearly the best option. And when Jordy Mercer got hurt and the last bench guy was in the game, Buck Farmer was next up. He did get into the game. But much to the relief of Ron Gardenhire, he was on the mound.
Huge here for the sports medicine team at Metro Health, University of Michigan Health. Now they feature some of the top sports physicians, physical therapists, and athletic trainers in this great state of Michigan. And it shows with their partnerships with local high schools, colleges, and professional sports teams. And also one thing about Metro Health sports medicine docs, they're also primary care docs, so they can provide general care and help with preventative medicine if you're an active individual or you take part in sports. And convenience is big, as they have 7 convenient locations across West Michigan. So there's a Metro Health University of Michigan Health location near you. Find out more at metrohealth.net/sportsmedicine. That's metrohealth.net/sportsmedicine. Whether you're a weekend warrior or your kid's been hurt or you've been hurt, get back to playing what you love to play with the team from Metro Health, University of Michigan Health Sports Medicine.
Friday, June 28th, it's Sugarland. Live at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort, part of the Soaring Eagle Summer Outdoor Concert Series, Sugarland with the Eli Young Band. Tickets start at just $25 and are on sale now at the Soaring Eagle and Eagles Landing box offices or online at etix.com. Don't miss Sugarland, Friday, June 28th at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Details at SoaringEagleCasino.com.
Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort is Central Michigan's entertainment destination, and Ascend is your newest and hottest spot for every live sporting event. With craft beer, specialty cocktails, a full dining menu, and Ascend watch and win promotions, you'll want to catch every college and pro game at Ascend. Then stick around for live entertainment or explore Soaring Eagle's other newly opened features, like the beautiful new poker room and non-smoking gaming area. Ascend is open now, only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort.
BHS Insurance is celebrating their 80th anniversary. BHS's commitment to excellence is why they are proud to be a leading provider of auto owner's insurance for your life, home, car, and business insurance needs. For BHS Insurance, everything rides on their relationships and reputation, which is why they are proud to be a leading provider of auto owner's insurance for your life, home, car, and business insurance needs. Visit BHSINS.com to learn more about how BHS Insurance, in partnership with auto owner's insurance, can best service your needs.
This is the Huge Radio Network.
Bill Simonson back on the Huge Radio Network. We are broadcasting from the Wolverine.com Tower, overlooking Doug Skeen Place, which is just off campus.
Right.
Paying tribute to offensive linemen from across the great state of Michigan. What was the year you played again?
I was here from 88 to 92.
88, 92.
But we are across the street from one of my favorite places down here, which is the University of Michigan Golf Course, which is now my favorite golf course in the whole state to play, for obvious reasons.
Do alums get discount deals?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, absolutely.
I never knew that.
Yep. So faculty, alumni, students, there's different charts and whatnot, but yeah, I love playing.
I never knew that.
Yeah, it's a great.
I was just kind of throwing it out as casual conversation.
It's a great golf course, great staff over there. It's just awesome.
Well, what are your top three golf courses in the state that you've played, in the state of Michigan?
Well, University of Michigan would be up there. I like to play the Boyne courses. Are a lot of fun up north, of course. And then I got a shout out to my local Tyrone Hills right there in Fenton, Michigan. Little course, little old course around the corner. Gets a lot of heavy traction, but they keep it in great shape. And Dennis does a great job out there. And so it's right around the corner from the house. And so he's been great to my kids. And we go out there and have a lot of fun.
Yeah. How about Tiger winning the Masters? How cool was that?
Awesome. Awesome. I just loved every. I watched 6 hours of
Same
golf,
here.
And I could not. I could have watched 6 more hours. I was so.
You didn't want it to end.
It was awesome.
Yeah, his comeback, and when some are saying it's one of the greatest moments in sports, it's not just about golf. It's about where the dude had bottomed out, the DUI, the police footage of his audio of him slurring with all the pain medication,
surgeries,
and divorce, and his children. And I remember last year at the British Open at Carnoustie when he talked about playing well, that he's so glad his kids. Have been able to see him kind of be like the old Tiger, and when he won the Masters, to hug his children and his mother and any dad.
Everybody.
And any father that's been through any tough time with their children in your life, whether you're divorced, whether you're separated, whether you worked it out and still married, that was such a powerful moment. And then what CBS did with him hugging his late father.
Oh, yeah.
And then hugging his son, Charlie.
Yeah.
That's what it's all
deal.
About. Well, the comeback.
Yeah. And that's why I told my buddy, we were watching the tournament. I said, this is an inspiration to all middle-aged men that have gone through whatever they've gone through.
Exactly.
We all fall short, right, Bill? We all fall short.
Father and men,
ways,
we do.
Right?
We all have our moments.
But here's a guy who fell really short in other ways. And like I said, we all have, but he made it back. And it's like, man, if this guy can do what he went through, maybe we can all do a little bit better too.
Yeah. And then Tiger and Patrick Reed, that kind of looked like, you know, that was like Bo and Woody.
It was formal.
And even Jim Nance and Mr. Ridley, they looked like they didn't want Reed there.
Yeah.
And then what I loved was the kid from Oklahoma State who was a low amateur. They're getting ready to come to Butler Cabin for the emotional moment, and he won't stop talking to Tiger.
I know.
Tiger's trying to be courteous and, you know, talk to the kid. The kid's was like, yeah, you know, the Norwegian kid. I forget his name from Oklahoma State is like talking to Tiger going, welcome back to the Butler Cabin. You get that kid's like, yeah, man, I can believe that.
What
a punt. That was, he won't stop. And then Patrick Reed is sitting there going, oh, my God.
Get me out of here.
Was I one of those guys that wrote off Tiger? Yeah, I think I was. Oh, no, he doesn't intimidate me.
Right.
And then I love the collage I saw on Twitter and Facebook of someone, how they must have had it ready to go.
Yeah.
Somebody had all of the so-called pundits.
Yes.
And former players and current players.
Yeah.
All talking about Tiger was done.
Yes. It reminded me of the presidential election when everybody said Trump's got no chance.
Yeah.
And yet he did it.
Man.
It's a powerful emotional thing, right? When groups and in these cases, entire nations write you off. Does that not motivate you?
I thought the Nike commercial was awesome. And also,
yeah,
I saw Tiger cut a 7-Up Yours commercial with him drinking a 7-Up in the butler cabin.
Was he holding a certain finger off of that cup?
Yeah, he was only holding it with one finger. It's pretty good. I'm Tiger Woods, 7-Up Yours. That's a beautiful, beautiful moment right there. All right, Doug. Away from golf, when you look at Michigan, your prediction off of spring ball, off of knowing what they have back,
yeah,
a lot of depth, skill position on offense outside of running back. But before we get to your prediction, the lack of a home run threat, true go-to experience running back, how much should we watch that affecting this upcoming year?
You should watch that closely. Someone needs to emerge here in early fall practice. Someone's got to get in there healthy and emerge. That's a big deal. We need two. You can't just make it through a season with one. You got to have two guys come out of there ready to go, make some plays, and not just running the ball. Because as old Freddie Jackson, the longtime running back coach here, said, every high school kid can run with the football, but can they block? And you have to be able to pass block to play running back at Michigan. And then you also, now, you have to be able to catch the football out of the backfield, too. So, need two of those guys.
All right, I'll get your prediction on Michigan's 2019 season coming up. One final segment with former Wolverine offensive lineman Doug Skeen, who you can hear year around with Chris Ballas on the Michigan Football Podcast at thewolverine.com.
This is a Huge Opinion Monday on the Huge Radio Network.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend Tom Rosenbach, who's a managing partner at Bean Garter. And we were talking on air about what Bean Garter offers when it comes to technology. And he compared it to sports. So what makes a team great? Speed. Speed in business. Speed in baseball, football, basketball. You could name the sport. Well, Bean Garter wants to reach out to anybody who currently uses QuickBooks or Great Plains technology to stay up to date on all your financials. Well, Bean Garter is strengthening businesses all around this state with this Sage Intacct, a financial management software that's built on the cloud and is ready to transform your business. You can stop wasting valuable time on your old inefficient software. You can start making strategic decisions based on good data that's there instantly. You can grow your business based on facts, not assumptions. Find out more on how Bean Garter can help you. Go to BeenGarter.com.
We have batteries, brakes, mufflers, and more at your auto value part store,
where service is the difference.
We get it.
Spring is here, and so are the savings. Spiff up your vehicle with Wizard's Mist and Shine Professional Detailer, now just $10.99. Pick up quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Oil for just $7.99. If you're fixing up that trailer hitch, save this month on the Curt 2-inch Hitch Ball. Auto value priced at only $8.99. And for those of you using two-stroke engines, save on True Fuel Premix for just $5.99. Order online at myautovaluestore.com, and this month we'll take $10 off orders of $50 or more when you use the coupon code SPRING10. That's spring and the number 10. At Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it.
We have batteries, brakes, mufflers, and more at your Auto Value parts store,
where service is the difference.
We get it.
Build the perfect Easter basket and save this week at Meijer. Select toys and games are buy one, get one 50% off. Hershey's and Nestle Easter bag candy are buy two, get one free. Easter peeps are two for $4. Easter chocolate bunnies are two for $7. Pre-filled Easter baskets start at just $10. Plus, dress a family in their Easter best for less. Apparel for the family is buy one, get one for $1. And kids' dress or casual shoes are just $14.99 this week at Meijer.
Bigger than any box score, local sports are a victory for the entire community. Building up leaders, breaking down barriers, connecting generations, teaching integrity, blazing a trail, sparking our economy. That's why Meijer sponsors hundreds of local sports teams throughout the Midwest. From Little League to the big leagues, uniforms to stadiums, Meijer knows when we support the home team, we all win.
Huge here for all the brands, steakhouse and grills. How about celebrating Easter at your local Brands? You can reserve a table for the brands close to you. Go to brands.com, and on Easter, you can enjoy a $17.99 meal combo. Choose from two, barbecue ribs, chicken, skewered shrimp, or the world-famous sizzling sirloin, as well as $1.50 kids' meals and $2.99 margaritas. Book your table today for Easter at all the brands, steakhouse and grills in Michigan. For the one close to you, go to brands.com.
This is the Huge Radio Network.
The Huge Radio Network is back inside the Wolverine.com tower in Ann Arbor with our affiliate AM 1050 WTKA. Doug Skeen played for the Wolverines 88-92. He is joining us talking about Michigan football. Look back at the spring game, looking ahead to 2019. Key road games at Wisconsin, at Penn State. The most attractive home schedule maybe
the Michigan fan will have ever...
The season to buy the tickets.
The season tickets were worth it this year.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame, Michigan State, Ohio State. So with all the changes with the staff, with the team a year older, with the incoming new maize and blue blood, what are you looking at for the fall? What's the number?
Well, I try to always use data to make some decisions in my life. I try to leave emotion out of it when I can. And so I thought about this now going back to last year. End of last year, into the spring, even with a new coach, I just can't get past the 10-2 number. I just don't know. And of course, at this point, you know, it's springtime here in Michigan. There's still snow on the ground this morning. I don't know how we go win both of those games on the road. And I don't know how we beat Ohio State. And I say those things because I haven't seen it yet. And so I see a 10-2 season. I'm not sure which one of those road games is going to be the hiccup game. I think we win against Michigan State at home. I think we win against Notre Dame at home. It's that end of season that I haven't seen anything yet to make me believe that we're going to get over the top. So therefore, the pragmatic side of me says we're not going to get over the top. I don't want that to happen, but objectively looking at it, I see a 10-2 season.
And if there ever is a season where you're going to take the program to the next level, you have ND, Michigan State, and Ohio State at home, it would be this year for Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines, because then the following year you're flipping it and you're going to East Lansing and to Columbus.
Right. Which, you know, again, as a former player, having been there, done that, I don't put as much stock in the road thing as maybe some fans that have not been there and done that think. I know there's a noise factor. Certainly, I'm not going to dismiss that. But the football field is the same size, and the hashes are in the same spots, and it's the same game. You just have to deal with a little bit of noise, and that's it. You know, we always enjoyed going on the road. It drew us closer together, and we felt like it was us against the world, and that can be a great motivator. So I don't buy the road thing as much as maybe some other folks do. It's the challenge of the teams themselves that you face on the road that's far more important.
Doug Skeen, former Wolverine offensive lineman, 1988 to 1992. You can listen to him. You're around with Chris Ballas on their Wolverine football podcast at thewolverine.com. Doug, I do appreciate your time here on the Huge Radio Network. You're going 10-2. I'll agree with you. The only change would be if the speed and space offense
crossing my fingers
is – beyond belief.
Can't wait to see it, but I'm not going to drink that Kool-Aid until I see it.
All right, Doug, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Does a great job on air, also a good man in person, and his daughter, big power hitter for University of Michigan Dearborn softball. Are they the Wolverines, too?
They are the Wolverines. Yeah,
playing the whack. Check her out sometime. She hits it about 350. It's awesome. It's like his drives on the golf course. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
All right, Doug Skeen from thewolverine.com joining us 24/7. You can stay in touch with Michigan Sports at thewolverine.com. And also, if you ever have a comment on Michigan football or basketball, @HugeShow on Twitter, TheHugeShow on Facebook and Instagram.